welcome you in, well, again, to Gateway to Baseball Heaven, actually. Tara and I tried to do this on our regular Sunday night, only to find that Skype or some other portion of our recording process didn't want to work. So we're trying it again on Monday night. I am your host, Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter, and that is Tara Wellman from Birdseeds and Birds on the Black, and at Tara Wellman on Twitter. Recording this right after the Cardinals have dropped a 2-1 game to the Marlins and the home plate umpire, which was slightly decisive in that final frame. Yeah, Tara, we had kind of talked in our show yesterday. We wanted to see whether this Cardinal team was a little different than the Cardinal teams in the past that would go win a good series or two and then lay an egg against lower competition. And while they lost tonight, I don't think you can say that it just was quite the same as those teams that just were utterly disappointing, you know, even just a couple months ago.
No, I think the thing that's different about this team and that we continue to see is that they're down but not out in just about every game that they play in. You know, whether they end up coming back to win at the end of the night or not, they make good plays. They are smartly aggressive. They take better at bats. I mean, Jairo Munoz, I think, saw 15 pitches in a single at bat tonight. Poor Harrison Bader was trying to run from first base and sort of false started on, I think, 8 foul balls by Munoz. So he may be a little extra tired tonight, but you know, they're taking better at bats, with perhaps the exception of Yadier Molina in the final at bat of the game tonight. You're gonna see that, though. That's baseball. You don't always make the right play. That's why it's so hard to be good at this game. But we're seeing them stay in games that they would have been so far out of in the recent past, you know, that we could have turned it off in the sixth inning when they were down by 2 runs to the Miami Marlins. So it's better to see that. It's better to see this style of play. I think they're very compelling as a team now, whether they win or lose. And, you know, I guess you take that for what it's worth, even though they aren't necessarily gaining ground in the standings.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to what I think we have been talking about and what we spent a lot of time talking about last night. This team is more interesting than it used to be, and it is more likely to battle back. It is more likely to give a competitive game. And, you know, even though the Cardinals only had one hit through part of this game, and even though they didn't score until the ninth, you know, there were some opportunities late in that game. It was, you know, I think the first game this year that Miami's roof had been open, and that seemed to play a role in at least a couple of deep fly balls. But it's a team that, yeah, doesn't seem like it's out of it very often, especially since the bullpen and shakeup. I'd have to go look, but I don't think they've lost any game by more than 3 runs or so, probably since the changeover in relief arms. And that's, I mean, that's partly because of management. That's partly because of new players, but it's partly because there's just a different style that's being played right now. And it's, as we said, different players are being involved in that, and that gets us back to what feels like really old news now, that it's been almost a week since Tommy Pham was sent to the Tampa Bay Rays for 3 prospects at the trading deadline. And, of course, then goes and breaks his foot when he gets over there, because Tommy, that's the only break Tommy Pham can catch, is a broken foot. We didn't talk about that last week. We didn't really, I mean, we kind of referenced maybe Tommy Pham would move, but in retrospect, I guess this was really the only deal the Cardinals could make.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we briefly touched on it last week, what we essentially came up with as a conclusion is that it would have been significantly more difficult to move Ozuna or Fowler in order to give playing time to guys like Harrison Bader or Tyler O'Neill, or now we're going to see Garcia get some time in the call-up from Memphis as well. So the Cardinals have these young outfielders that it seems like perhaps the desire all along from John Mozeliak's perspective was to give those guys a chance to be consistent major league players. That just didn't really work into the way that the former manager was willing to play those guys. So now that he had the opportunity to do that, to get those young guys in the mix, to see what they have for the future going forward as they lay out a plan for 2019 and beyond, Tommy Pham ended up kind of just being the only guy that they could move. At least that's the assumption, you know, that the effort it would have taken to move Dexter Fowler or Marcell Ozuna, you know, would have been significantly greater. And as limited as the return seemed to be for Tommy Pham, still likely less for two guys with much more money on their contracts and lesser seasons as a selling point. So it was a weird day, that trade deadline, especially, you know, knowing that Chris Archer was going to be moved, knowing that Tommy Pham was going to Tampa Bay, then finding out that was not actually the two players in the same deal. And then, you know, trying to sort of find a way to evaluate the minor league guys that they got in return for Tommy Pham. Although I still would say that the move to me was more about clearing space on the major league roster than the return itself. And unfortunately, the Cardinals' best player from 2017 hadn't really lived up to that this season. So the perceived value may not still have been there, and at least from what we saw in the trade itself, wasn't there like we had hoped it might be for someone like Pham.
Yeah, I think Bernie Miklas showed from like May on, you know, Tommy Pham was like next to last in baseball in some of these offensive categories because he really just hadn't hit much in the last couple of months, and so that did take a, you know, factor in his injury history, factor in everything else, and it's not too surprising that they had problems getting much of a return. And there's some, you know, there, you know, you look at the Cabrera that comes back, it's a starter, a left-handed starter with a pretty good fastball and good slider, I believe. He's got a chance to be something, it sounds like. And the fourth outfielder, maybe, because they don't have any of those outfielder types. So they had to add one to Memphis. But, you know.
They're running low.
Yeah, you know, apparently so this week, it seems like. And that does bring the question up, though. If it was enough about Tommy Pham or finding room, maybe it doesn't matter. But Dexter Fowler on Friday then breaks his foot, is out for a significant period of time, possibly the rest of the year. If Dexter Fowler does that a week earlier, does Tommy Pham stay?
You know, I think it certainly would have made trading Tommy Pham more difficult. But at the same time, even after the Tommy Pham trade, there was still this weird dilemma in trying to figure out how to play Harrison Bader and Tyler O'Neill, and theoretically at some point this season, Garcia, now that's not so theoretical, alongside Dexter Fowler, after the organization had very vocally stated their renewed commitment to Fowler in right field. So, you know, it was going to be complicated even if you were then suddenly without Dexter Fowler and were able to hold on to Tommy Pham. But I think still this decision was more about the Cardinals for the future, not about the Cardinals for this season. And I think that the front office essentially decided that Tommy Pham, while there's certainly value to be had if he lives up to his 2017 numbers, didn't really fit the picture for the Cardinals moving forward. And, you know, whether you agree with that or don't agree with that, that's entirely your prerogative. But to me, I think that I have a hard time believing they would have bailed on that idea even if Dexter Fowler had been hurt before, just because it seemed to be a very forward-thinking move as opposed to this season alone.
I think that's fair. I do think, like you said, they wanted to clear those spots up, and it would have allowed for both Bader and O'Neill assuming they could stay healthy, and so far Tyler O'Neill has shown to be almost fam-like when he's in the major leagues and being able to get injured. But if they'd been both been healthy, both been able to play, that would have probably been, you know, the best of both worlds for the Cardinals. Now O'Neill goes down and Garcia is up, and it's going to be kind of interesting to see, one, how long O'Neill is out, because it seems to be a very delicate injury, and the Cardinals are not, are, as Joe Trezza says, being very deliberately vague about what the problem is, so we don't know exactly how long he's going to be out. But it's going to be interesting to see how much time they give to a guy Garcia. And I think in the past we would say Garcia is just going to get sit on the bench. He's not going to do much. But Mike Shields has kind of shown that if there's young guys to be had, he's going to put them right into the mix of things and not worry about, you know, how that affects veterans or whatever the like may be. If they've got talent, he wants to put them out there.
Yeah, and I think that is what is very refreshing, among other things. Obviously, there are some strategy things, some personality things. There are a lot of things that are very refreshing about Mike Shildt. But I do think it's interesting. I was thinking about this earlier today in that, you know, we give John Mozeliak a lot of grief, myself included, for kind of holding on to, or as I have often said, hoarding prospects in the minor leagues. But it almost feels like the way that this season is unfolding at this point is as exciting for Mo as it is for anyone else, because, you know, these are the guys that he's held on to and built up at that minor league level who are now getting a chance to shine, on the big league stage. So as much as it's refreshing to see Mike Shildt willing and determined to utilize these players, I think it's got to be great from Mo's perspective to finally have someone who sees the value in that youth and in that talent, and isn't afraid of either losing the veteran players or of putting them in situations they're not comfortable with, and maybe not having the clearest path to success. I don't know if I'm explaining that well, but I think it's got to be great from Mo's perspective to look at the organization that he's built and finally have someone at the helm on the field who's willing to utilize those pieces, as opposed to sidelining them or sticking them at the end of the bench and then sort of forcing the issue of, such a veteran heavy team.
Yeah, it is like this is an... Well, I would make some sort of car analogy, but I don't understand them, so I'm not going to. But it's definitely like a river that's been dammed up in a spot where it's just been trickling out, and they've removed the blockage, and now everything's flowing freely. And the ideas that John Mozeliak has for this team, and Michael Gersh as well, are being implemented, you know, completely by Mike Shildt, and we're seeing a better team put together, and you're seeing all these things that, you know, used to cause friction and gum up the works that are now gone, and you see what can happen when they actually are all on the same page. So it's a wonderful thing, and you're right, John Mozeliak is probably very happy, even though I'm not saying that he was excited about firing Mike Matheny. There are clouds or silver linings in every cloud, and I think right. That's probably one of them. As we continue to talk about new people, the Cardinals also this weekend claimed Tyson Ross from the Padres. He is probably going to join the team tomorrow, it sounds like, and actually, surprisingly, is going to start out of the bullpen. I think most everybody kind of thought he would slide into the rotation maybe to take John Gant's spot, but right now he's going to try to eat some innings out of the bullpen. Now, you had an idea, I thought, a comparison that you kind of put out there, and being that Twitter is not necessarily the best place for complex thoughts, I thought we would discuss it here, but you were talking about how you could see for this year that a move for Tyson Ross could be something that the Cardinals, it could be comparable to the Chris Archer move if the Cardinals had made that. So I'm just going to get out of the way now and let you do that.
Well, what I said initially was that I feel like at worst, Tyson Ross will eat up some innings that you don't want these young arms taking on. But at best, he can do for this team what Chris Archer would have done this season. Now, that context there is very important because I'm certainly not suggesting that Tyson Ross and Chris Archer are an apples to apples comparison where they're the same pitcher with the same stuff with the same upside. And again, there's a very different perspective as far as the long-term benefits of something like that. Tyson Ross is a free agent after this season. Of course, we know that Chris Archer is on that very team-friendly deal that was very appealing to a lot of teams and to a lot of fans, myself included. But the point that I was trying to make is that what Chris Archer could have brought to this team was that extra experience factor. I mean, we're looking at a rotation that right now, without Carlos Martinez in it, yes, you have Miles Michaelis, who's kind of the veteran, but he hasn't really been around Major League Baseball much more than Jack Flaherty has. And we're talking about Jack Flaherty now as a veteran pitcher, kind of that leader in this rotation. And he's a guy that wasn't even supposed to start the year in the rotation. He only did because of an injury to Adam Wainwright. So you're talking about so much youth. And Chris Archer could have come in and brought the tremendous talent that he has, although it hasn't been on full display this season with the way that he's pitched and the results that that we've seen from it. But he has the experience. He has that presence. He has really good stuff that maybe with a trip outside the AL East, he would have been able to do a little bit more with it. So that's essentially what I'm getting at in this comparison, is that I think Tyson Ross is a guy that we know has had good stuff. He hasn't been great this year, although if you compare raw numbers, Chris Archer and Tyson Ross have had very similar seasons. But he can be the veteran presence in this on this pitching staff, and I certainly would have expected the rotation to be where he would land. But you know, as was discussed at length on Twitter, there are some financial incentives for the starts that he makes from this point on in the season, or at least for the next seven starts, I guess, based on the way the contract is written. So that would cost the Cardinals a bit more money if he is in fact pitching out of the rotation as opposed to the bullpen. Nonetheless, however they utilize Tyson Ross, the point I was trying to make, again, perhaps without the nuance required for a Chris Archer Tyson Ross comparison on Twitter, is that he can provide that same boost to this pitching staff that Chris Archer would have been at a significantly lower risk, a significantly lower cost. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, they're not going to feel like they gave up a whole lot to get him. So very high upside potential at a very low risk cost. And to me, that's a really smart move to go out and make. You know, when you've got a ton of pitching talent, you just maybe need a little bit of extra experience and a guy that can go out and be more of a sure thing in those innings that he's going to pitch.
Yeah. And I mean, there's no guarantee that Tyson Ross is here, you know, definitely not by the end of the year. Could not, maybe not even by the end of the month. I mean, you just never know. It depends on how he plays. You've also got, you know, Dominic Leone has started his rehab assignment. You've got Michael Wacha that will probably be back at the beginning of September. That could, you know, if he's ready to go, is going to be able to take some of these innings that they're missing. But yeah, I think you're right. It just, it's pretty, there's no real risk there. Even if they started him and paid him that $20,000 to start or whatever, I mean, that's still less than they're paying Greg Holland this year, which is probably not something you should bring up to John Mozeliak. But, you know, anyway, it's not very much. I mean, it's like an extra $1.4 million and or whatever. I make the whole contract that way, I think, or something like that. But it would not be a big deal. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, he obviously had a very good start to the year. He pitched pretty well through June, and he has not pitched well since July. And the calendar turned, and so we will see if he's able to, you know. And Mike Maddox is a guy that you would probably trust to make adjustments to, a guy like Tyson Ross. And obviously yeah, the talent's there, so we'll see if they can tap into it. So, you know, the Cardinals have played, you know, barring tonight, and again, they didn't play badly tonight, they just didn't win. They'd won 7 of their last 10. They had won 3 straight series against playoff competing teams, the Cubs, the Rockies, the Pirates. It's, again, we've kind of talked about it so much, or a little bit some already, but the team overall just looks better. And again, I don't, everybody wants to draw that line of, you know, the day before the All-Star break when they changed managers, and that's a lot of it. But I don't know. Is that everything?
No, I don't think it's everything. I mean, clearing out half the bullpen was a big part of it. But, you know, I think that whether it was the manager or not, in every one of the improved areas of this team, you know, that was a wake-up call that day. And the series that followed, of course, we all know how the 5 games in 4 days against Chicago went, and it wasn't necessarily like all of a sudden the Cardinals were world beaters, but they did score a bunch of runs that that series. And we saw Matt Carpenter start to set the world on fire. And, you know, I guess there's always the chance that this is finally the team just sort of gelling into the potentially successful team that people like Mike Matheny and John Mozeliak kept telling us was right around the corner. But, I also think that there's a very real change that has taken place with the way that just the way that this team functions, it seems, internally and on the field. And I don't think you can credit Mike Schilt enough with the way that he stepped into a situation that had the potential to be a bit volatile, as most interim managers do, and to step in and essentially very clearly highlight some of the issues with the roster that he had been handed, and in almost no time at all end up getting a number of those pieces changed out for the young talent at the minor league level. Now, again, whether that's because Mike Schilt basically said, give me better pitchers, or if it's because all of a sudden John Mozeliak realized he had a manager who would probably more properly utilize those young arms, it seemed very quick and very simple for them to go get the Gombers and the Hudsons and even John Gant from Memphis, and give them real legitimate roles in Major League pen. And I think that you can't overlook just how much Mike Schilt had to do with that, because I certainly don't believe that would have been the case had the manager job not been changed in the middle of the season.
Yeah, we so often talk about how the Cardinals manage their roster to fit the manager.
Yeah.
They took flexibility away, they added flexibility, they did this, they did that. Well, they're doing it again, but it's working, because they are saying, look, Mike Schilt's going to be aggressive. He's going to take pitchers out. He's going to pinch hit when there's an opportunity. And if he's going to do that, we don't want the bullpen to look, just continue to blow up everything. You don't want Brett Cecil. You don't want Greg Hollins. You don't want, unfortunately, Tyler Lyons to go and undo all that work. And it was obvious that Mike Schilt, who, give him credit, could have easily played it safe, used the people that he had and done the best he could, been careful and made starters go longer because he had a bad bullpen. But he said, no, I'm going to manage the way I want to manage because, this is my only opportunity to show them what I'm going to do. And, John Mozeliak recognized that and made the switch. And you're right, it wouldn't have happened under the other manager. There's also a train of thought that the front office did not want to give Mike Matheny a lot of these young arms, because we've seen what happens with some of these young arms. Either they don't get used or they get used too much. So, be that as it may, I don't know. But it's definitely worked out that they're playing to Mike Schilt's strengths. And they're giving him a lot of options, and he's using them. And so it's fun to see, and we'll see how well it continues going forward. I'm trying to decide. I thought there was something else I wanted to speak about. I'm sure there is some. Is there something that we should talk about before we end this evening? I feel like there's something else.
I feel like there's always something else, but no, I mean, we didn't actually talk about this in the episode that will never be heard, but I was in Peoria this weekend, and you know, it's always fun to get out there and see that team. I don't know that Peoria really gets as much attention as the likes of Springfield or Memphis, because, you know, as the class, those guys are a pretty pretty good leap from the major leagues. But it's always fun to get out there and see what they have going on. They're in a really interesting situation this year. In fact, that series was against the Quad Cities River Bandits, which used to be the Cardinals affiliate and also is the team that I cover quite regularly during this season. And, you know, they have the best pitching team in the Midwest League. The Chiefs are the best hitting team in the Midwest League, and it's been that way almost all season. They also both have already claimed postseason spots. So this series was a bit of a preview of the postseason series to come, I think the first week of September, between those two teams, just because of the way they split up the first and the second half, and you can earn a spot in the postseason in either half of the year. So man, they've had a lot of really interesting players at Peoria this year. But as far as the pitching is concerned, I mean, we're talking about all the pitching that got moved up from Memphis. What maybe isn't discussed as much, and I know that Dan McLaughlin was talking to Brian Walton about this on their minor league report this week on his podcast, that the trickle-down effect then is that all these pitchers keep getting moved up a level, you know, every time the Cardinals do a bit of a line change in the major league bullpen. So, you know, a lot of the great pitching talent that started the year in Peoria is no longer there, and a lot of the guys that are getting a chance to pitch every 5 days maybe wouldn't have otherwise. And the catchers at that level have been there all season. There are two catchers for Peoria, one being Dennis Ortega, who's the more highly touted prospect, but then also Julio Rodriguez is the second catcher there, and those two have pretty much been splitting the catching responsibilities this year. So they've seen a lot of different pitchers as guys have moved in and out. They've both had some really great games behind the plate as far as the success of the starting pitcher. And it's been an interesting point of consistency having those two guys behind the plate for most of the year as all these pitchers continue moving through the organization as the Cardinals change things at the very top. So yeah, it's always great to get out there and see those guys. I did talk to both Ortega and Rodriguez, and we'll hopefully be writing up something about them here in the next couple of days. So yeah, that was Peoria.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I mean, it is hard because those guys are, in theory, although Jordan Hicks would probably disagree, those guys are very far from the major leagues. I mean, they're two or three years away. In fact, you know, if you listen to Kyle Reese talk about Ortega, and he talks about him perhaps being the heir apparent more to Molina than Kelly or Kisner, just because of how he could be moving up and be ready to go as Molina's contract is ending. But, you know, a lot of those guys are never going to make that next step, and so it's hard to somewhat get excited about that unless you're somebody like Kyle, which really, there's nobody like Kyle. So,
it's true, yeah. And we love him for it.
Yes, and we're kind of glad there's only one, too. Yeah, so those are fun. I guess the other news that we did not mention is the fact that Carlos Martinez went back on the DL after coming immediate, you know, pitched five innings, went back on the DL. You know, and I know we talked about this last night, but we're talking about this innings crunch that's coming, this idea that they're not going to be able to fill the gap, but it still feels somewhat like they really ought to give serious consideration to shutting Carlos Martinez down for the year.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, and I've said this before, I was immediately concerned after the first injury when he came back and essentially for two starts was basically saying, I'm not really sure I trust that I'm healthy, so I'm not going to pitch at 100%. That was concerning to me. That was very concerning to me. And then, you know, we saw him sort of start to round back into form, and then a different injury, you know, went from lat to oblique to now shoulder, and that sort of chain reaction type, situation is concerning. And, you know, I guess when they announced that Tyson Ross would be in the bullpen for the Cardinals, to me that was made pretty clear that they expect to at least try to get Carlos Martinez back in the rotation at some point before the season is over. But I also think that having Tyson Ross in the bullpen is a very, very obvious safety net should that not work out. And they do end up having to shut Carlos Martinez down. So, you know, it's... Carlos Martinez is so good when he's good that I understand wanting him to be there as quickly as possible, but I also want Carlos Martinez to be good for as long as possible. And, you know, if that means letting him just take the rest of the season to recover and to build up that strength and to really focus on the training that goes into some of that preventative care, then I would 100% be supportive of that idea. Particularly with the arms that the Cardinals do have now, again, recognizing that they're going to need those innings to come from somewhere. But that's sort of why you go out and get Tyson Ross.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, you just have to, you know, you got to pay attention to next year too. I mean, you got, this guy is too valuable to risk, especially in a season that's still unlikely to end with a playoff appearance. I mean, it's not ruled out, but it's still fairly unlikely given the gaps that there are and the teams ahead of them. So it makes a lot of sense, but that doesn't mean that's what they're going to do. And we will find out. Tara and I will be back with you hopefully on Sunday, assuming everything works out. And if this one didn't record and you don't hear it, then I'm sorry, but we're not doing it again. Tara's had to talk to me twice this week. That's way more than anybody should have to do.
Spent a lot of time trying to explain the Chris Archer Tyson Ross thing.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the whole show last time, and it's gone. So, anyway, we'll be back at you next time. So, until then, good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.